Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
We are in a series called Discipleship, Who You Follow Matters. Because whoever you follow, you start to become like them. And so we see people, you know, all around the world. You can kind of tell what fashion icons they follow, what musical icons they follow, what sports people they follow, what values they start to take on based on who they follow. And so Jesus calls us, discipleship is really following him, becoming like him, taking on his values, wanting to become like him. And so we're actually in the second half of the first part of our sermon. We got through the first half last week. And so we're going to continue on this morning on discipleship. As Every Nation churches, one of the part of our DNA that's probably the most pronounced is discipleship. So anywhere you go to an Every Nation church around the world, they're going to talk about discipleship. And discipleship has a lot of different meanings around the world and in different churches. And so we want to just unpack what that means for us. What does it look like to be a disciple and to make disciples? What is discipleship for us as Every Nation Taipei? We'll just break it down. We want to start off the year by sort of just relaying the foundations, the main things in our lives. And so we're looking at Matthew chapter 28 as our theme scripture. So our theme passage is Matthew 28, verses 16 through 18. And it says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted." And that verse always jumps out at me to say that here's Jesus risen from the dead. Most of them, they knew he was crucified, even if they ran away during that time. They knew that Jesus had been crucified. They knew he had been buried in the ground. And here when they see the risen Lord, some of them recognize the miracle and others doubt. And that's so weird, you know. But the truth is, that happens all the time. That miracles happen. People see them. Miracles happen in their own lives. I know people who've been healed from cancer. And then a few years later, they just turn away from God. I've seen just incredible miracles happen in people's lives. And yet, it's just a matter of time sometimes before they get distracted, dissuaded. Jesus followers, we saw, even though they saw Jesus raise people from the dead, open blind eyes, do so many amazing miracles. And yet, when the chips were down, when it seemed like circumstances had turned against Jesus, his followers pretty much all left him. I always think, man, if Jesus was alive today, if I could just walk with him and see the miracles, I would be such a better Christian. You know, I would never miss church. But here the multitudes left him. Paul the Apostle, same thing. You know, he was an amazing preacher, an amazing worker of miracles, planted so many churches, did so many powerful things. And yet, end of his life, he writes how this person has forsaken me, this person, and all of his different people, his companions, had just forsaken him. He said, I'm all alone. It's just me in prison with my doctor. You know, my Luke, the physician, helped take care of me. And so we see that's common. And then I look at my own life and I think of all the times that I've met with God and all that God's done in my life. And yet, so often, it's so easy for me to stray away from that. And so it goes on to say in verse 18, "And when Jesus came and said to them, all authority, he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." As we talked about last week about how discipleship comes from a place of recognizing Jesus' authority in our lives and in the world around us. And so as we make disciples from a place of bringing God's kingdom and his authority, his rule, that Jesus you know, as we come, we're not looking to establish a political kingdom, a military kingdom, a financial kingdom. In the end, it's a spiritual kingdom. Because Jesus says all spiritual authority. And in the end, everything else will align to the one who has all spiritual authority. And that God has called us, when we disciple, part of our discipleship is not just to help people become Christians, but part of it is in our lives, Jesus' intention is that we too would have authority and learn to rule and reign the way that he rules and reigns, from a place of humility, from a place of love. The kingdom that Jesus established, where he laid down his life for those that he loved, a kingdom of love, a kingdom of sacrifice. And Jesus is calling us to rule in the same way, to carry the same kind of authority, an authority not of military power, not of political pressure, but an authority that comes from love and service. This is what the church is. It's a place to demonstrate the authority of Christ through the heart of Christ. And so we're going to continue on the second half of Matthew chapter 28. In this passage, it says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." And this is the assignment of the church, to make disciples. Jesus didn't say go, actually. He didn't say go and start churches. He didn't say go and reform society. He said go, make disciples. So this is our primary mission here as a church. And as we make disciples, there will always be churches. But if we keep trying to plant churches, we can plant churches without making disciples. And so our priority needs to be on making disciples. That's why we're doing this series on what is discipleship? What does it look like? Jesus didn't say, go and do miracles. He didn't say, you know, go and teach morality. He said, go make disciples. So what does that mean? He breaks it down and says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And so today we're going to kind of break down the practically, what does that look like, making disciples, just from this passage. So would you join with me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, we look to you today. And God, we just want to come, as we come, we often come with so many different desires. Lord, I come to church just wanting sometimes just to have a good service or wanting to see more people come to church. But God, today, I just want to reset my heart to say, Lord, I want to come to you and surrender before you and say, Lord, you shape and mold me, my life. You speak to me. And may your words form me and shape me. Today, we just invite your Holy Spirit to come and to speak to each and every one of us, the things that are on your heart for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so how do we make disciples? What are the practical steps that we take to make disciples? Looking at verse 19, second half, it says, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that Jesus says, if you're going to make disciples of all nations, you have to baptize them. So what does he mean? Is he talking about you got to make sure everybody goes through a religious ritual? You know, this is the entry, the secret handshake to get into the club, baptize them. No, actually, baptism means being all in. Baptism is a powerful representation of what it means to become a follower of Christ. So baptism, when we talk about baptism, Jesus was baptized, and how he told us to be baptized was to be fully immersed into water as a picture of Jesus laying down his life, being crucified, being buried, and then rising again from the waters of baptism, just like Jesus rose again from the grave. And this is really the starting point of Christianity. It's coming to Christ and being all in with him. When Jesus was crucified, he said, greater love has no man than this, and you lay down your life for those that you love. And Jesus wanted to demonstrate how much he loved us. And then he calls us to say, now you need to also lay down your life. And so Christianity, discipleship, is an act of going all in with Jesus. It's just saying, Lord, I want to be completely sold out to you. And all of us, as followers of Christ, as disciples, we can point back to that moment where we sort of went all in with Jesus in the waters of baptism. It was kind of cool. Yesterday, we did a baptism. So I actually have some photos here from Kathy Ye's baptism. There we are at a swimming pool. It was supposed to be heated. I guess it wasn't super cold, but it wasn't super warm either. So, but it was so much fun going there and seeing her get baptized in water there. People gather around. It's a great moment of celebration, but it really is a journey into baptism. And when you come to baptism, it's a serious moment, because baptism is saying, Jesus, I want to give my life completely to you in the same way that you gave your life completely to me. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says it this way. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. So what is baptism? It's we being buried with Christ and then being raised into a new life. You see, Jesus here is his desire is to see our lives be completely transformed. Christianity is not something we just sort of add to our lives or check off a box. Okay, I got religion. I got a job, a career, I got a family, and I need some religion. Christianity, discipleship, is completely giving our lives over so that Christ begins to affect every part of our lives. And you can't have a new life until you're willing to lay down the old life. Otherwise, the two will always compete with each other. And so when Christ calls us to discipleship, he's calling us really to a laying down of our lives. And everything that this world brings that competes with Christ in our lives. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 and 35 says it this way. Calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will find it. You see, Jesus didn't come just to give us sort of a new life philosophy or a religion to follow. He didn't come to institute rules. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. And without Christ, our spirit within us, that which makes us connected to God, that part of us that relates to God, is dead. And that's why we have a lot of people who just feel like God doesn't even exist, because without our spirit life coming alive, we don't have a connection with our Heavenly Father. And so Jesus came, the Bible says, to give us new life. Baptism is part of that process of coming into this new life as we lay down our lives completely to him. And this is where discipleship begins. It begins with laying down our lives and the things that compete against becoming like him. Jesus came to change us from the inside out. It's most of religion tries to conform us from the outside in, give us rules and regulations. And that's why, you know, most of us, we dislike religion. But we endure it because we think it's what we should do. And we think it somehow elevates us. But what elevates us is Christ's life inside of us when he changes us from the inside out. That's why Jesus came. He didn't come to give us rules and help us live by them. He came, the Bible says, to give us life. To live inside of us and live with us and walk with us. This is what discipleship is. It's walking with God and walking with others. It says here in Mark chapter 8, it says, deny yourself. If you want to come after Jesus, you have to start off by denying yourself. We live in such a me-first culture. We live where it's really, you know, so much of what we see in social media and TV and just in conversations with our friends and at school and even from our parents guides us towards living for ourselves and putting ourselves first and trying to get out of life what we want out of life instead of what God intends for our lives. I love what Rick Warren says in his Purpose-Driven Life book. He said, it's not about you. You weren't created for you. Your existence here on earth The purpose of your life is far greater than your own personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. If all you are is about you, you know, when I was growing up, you would all, the culture was that if everything was about you, you'd immediately just kind of draw back from people who felt like life was all about them. And you just say, yeah, you're so self-centered, so selfish, so full of pride, so full of yourself. Those were negative words. But in today's culture, it's almost like those are positive words. And you got to put yourself first, you know. You got to take care of you, you know, and do what's inside of you to do. And everything's about you, what you want and who you can be, and self-actualizing yourself. And Jesus said, actually, it's denying yourself. Taking up your cross, that instrument of death and suffering. That's the number one icon of Christianity and discipleship is the cross. So I love that we have a cross up here behind us. And that's an instrument of suffering and death and pain. And how many people say, you know, your goal in life should be suffering and death? Come join our club. We're all about suffering and death. But that's what Jesus said. You want to follow me? Deny yourself. This is not about self-actualization. This is about putting yourself to death, so that new life can come. Because what God has for you is so far beyond what you can find in yourself. And the sad thing is that we have so many people who are so caught up with themselves, and then they hit depression. We have, you know, just depression and frustration is rampant in our society. Why? Because they've been sold a lie that fulfilling themselves is going to be how they are fulfilled. You will never find fulfillment by trying to just fulfill yourself. You're created for so much more that you're going to find that when you get to all that you can do, you're going to find, man, I fall so short of what I think I should do. Because God's put inside of you a desire to become not all that you can be, but all that He made you to be. And to become all that He's created you for goes beyond yourself. You have to be willing to give yourself away to experience true joy and fulfillment. You have to be willing to lay your life down in order to experience the fullness of life that God intended. You cannot do this without the help of the ruler of the universe. But the great thing is that the ruler of the universe, the one who created you, He's the one who wants to bring everything out of you. He's the one who wants to put more creativity into you than you could ever discover on your own. He's the one who wants to put more peace in you than you could ever have on your own. He's the one who wants to fill you with such a hope that no turn of circumstances, no trauma could ever rob you of your hope or your joy or your peace or your life. Because it's a joy and a peace that comes not from your circumstances and not from your own abilities, but from the abilities of the God who created the universe, and He never changes. And there is nothing that can stop Him. And that's the Christian life. The Christian life is not us pursuing God. It's us allowing God to pursue us and to pursue His purposes through us. God has more in store for you than you could ever accomplish on your own. This is discipleship. This is why Jesus calls us to lay down our lives and to follow Him, is so that we can become all that He's created us to be. That's being all in. And at some point in your life, you're going to have to choose to be all in with Jesus if you want to get all that He has for you. And it's a battle, because we have a lot of stuff inside of us that is counter to the kingdom of God. We have selfishness. You know, we have our own desires. We want to rule and we want to be right all the time and win every argument. You know, we're not, and we will crush, I'm one of these guys, I will crush a relationship for the sake sometimes of winning an argument. That's my personal, you know, that's me, my nature inside. And sometimes I think, man, you know. And all of us, we have our own things that we go after, that we put above following Christ. I want to encourage you today. wherever that conflict is with you. In the world that we live in, Jesus said it this way, there's the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Those three arenas are where most of our conflict happens. Things that we go after, whether it's experiences and pleasures, or, you know, sexual lust is kind of the top of the list, especially nowadays. You see it all the time. Pride of life. I want to be the richest. I want to have the most stuff. I want to have control. I want things done my way. All these things, they are counter to the kingdom of God. But they're so prevalent in my heart. That's why we need the help of God. That's what discipleship is. Discipleship is about getting those things out of my life and having my life instead conforming to Christ. That's why we start with baptism, because it starts with the decision to be all in. I grew up in a crazy church. I grew up in a church where people were just, everybody was all in. We were a small little church, smaller than this, is where when I came to Christ. And it was just, there's like 30 or 40 people in a small little old house way back in a valley in Hawaii, and muddy and, you know, kind of the poorest, worst part of town, all like the public housing with the gangs and the drugs. That's where our church was. And then these guys, God started just touching people's lives. And whether it was Japanese businessmen or, Hawaiian and Samoan gang members, or Chinese kids like me, American Chinese, who had no clue. We just, all these people from all these different walks of life started coming together and finding Jesus. And I love where, the proper, Asians, well-educated, wanting to go to Ivy League schools, we were coming in and getting saved, and alongside the surfer got dudes in their shorts and their long hair, and the hippies from back in the 60s and 70s, and all just coming and finding Jesus. And it was, we would spend all night just praying together, studying the Word of God together. My mom, we would study whole chapters of the Bible together. We would learn. And so I just remember those early days of, in my walk with Christ as a kid, just being on my face for hours in church together with others, just weeping as God would show us His heart. And just saying, Lord, I want, whatever it is, I want to be all in with you. I want to live my life for you. And how those decisions in those early years have marked my life for the rest of my life. And my desire as a church is that we would have those kind of moments for all of us where we would be marked by God in whatever we do. That's what it means to be baptized. Teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Matthew chapter 28. Verse 20. I love what Steve Merle says. He says, the one move every church must master is a simple, clear, and transferable discipleship process. And that's what we want to do here at Every Nation, is just make discipleship simple and easy. And so we have, we want to help people everywhere along the process of growing closer to Christ. We want to have something that can help you. And so we're starting right now these alpha courses that we have, which are designed for those who really don't know Christ and are just beginning their journey towards Christ. And so they're small groups where people just ask questions. And so we have like five or six of them going. And so we have some photos, I think, of some of our alpha courses here. This is the Monday night alpha course. Then we have the Thursday night one. And then we have the Friday one. I think we have one today. So there's like five or six that are starting up. Just yesterday I was with Kevin, and he's starting one for high schoolers. They got like 8 to 10 high schoolers who want to come and explore, the deeper meaning of life, and faith. And so I love these alpha courses to help those who are just beginning their journey. And then we have one-to-one for those who are ready to take that first step and say, okay, I want to commit and start a relationship with God. I want to come in and explore that. One-to-one is something that we do one-on-one. And if you haven't been through one-to-one, we encourage you, go through one-to-one with someone. How many of you here have gone through one-to-one? Okay. So if you haven't been through one-to-one, wait, raise your hand. If you've been through one-to-one, just raise your hand. So if you haven't been through one-to-one, look for someone with their hand up and say, hey, can you take me through one-to-one? One-to-one is meant to go through the material one-to-one. So brilliant. And then we're also going to start what we call a connections course. So this spring, we're rolling out the connections course, which really just, again, helps you with the basics of discipleship. And so after you start your journey with God, the connections course will help you understand and get the practices that will help you grow in your relationship with God. And all these things, we have what we call small groups. We encourage everybody to be in a small group. Maybe we can go back to that first picture. So this is at the baptism yesterday, and these women are all praying for Kathy getting baptized. They're all from her small group. And we encourage you, small groups really is where discipleship happens best. It's what Jesus did. He got his 12. He built the church not on the multitudes that gathered on the mountainside, but he built it with his 12. And so in church, we want these small groups that are small communities where you learn and help each other grow together. This small group here began in 2017 as a book club. And so I think we have a picture of them beginning in 2017, 5 years ago. The next photo pulled up. There you go. And so this book club, where they just start to get together and read a book together about parenting and how God and Christianity are involved in parenting. And from there now, these different people have gone from reading books to being all in. And that's what small groups do, is they help us walk in our journey with God. I love this saying from our pastor, Every Nation pastor in Singapore, Joey Bonifacio, in his book called The Lego Principle. He says, discipleship is relationship. In the end, that's what it's all about. Because that's what God created us for. Relationship with Jesus and relationship with one another. Because in the end, it always comes back to Jesus. And that's the most important part of discipleship, is the who. The people we're involved in. Christianity is not about information. And it's not about experiences. It's about relationships. Having a relationship with God. And having relationships with each other. Matthew chapter 28 verse 20b, the second half says, behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. And see, Christianity is all about that. Having that relationship with Christ. And so when Jesus sends his disciples out, he says, the number one thing you have to remember is that I'm with you. Because discipleship is all about being with Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer has this great saying. He says, Christianity without the living Christ is inevitably Christianity without discipleship. And Christianity without discipleship is always Christianity without Christ. You see, as we journey on this path of life that we've been given, God's intention is to give us both a guidebook, the scripture, but also a guide, the Holy Spirit, who guides us. And the Holy Spirit is here to remind us of everything that Jesus has taught us. So when Jesus says, teach them to observe, he then gives us the Holy Spirit to help us and remind us of all the things that Jesus taught us. Because in the end, what Christianity and discipleship really is, it is having the life of Christ and the relationship with Christ formed inside of us. And this is our goal, to become more like Christ. And so today, if you are in a place of that journey where you've never yet made that commitment to Christ and say, okay, Christ, I want to know Jesus, then I want to give you an opportunity just to start that relationship. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we're so thankful for the gift of Jesus. And Lord, you know that today there are some here who have such a deep relationship with you. And in these moments, Lord God, as we come to you, we're just so grateful that we can come at any time and converse with our Heavenly Father, the one we walk through life with, the one we've committed our lives to. There's others here, Lord God, who've never even begun that relationship. And Lord, I pray that today would be a day when Lord, they would take that step to say, Lord, I don't know too much about you, but I want to know you. I want to trust you. And so, Lord, come into my life. I invite you, Lord Jesus, to make yourself real to me. I want to submit to your lordship. I want to know what it is to know your love. I want to know what it is to be forgiven of my sins and to walk in freedom. And Father, there's others of us who we know you, but we've strayed from you. And we've allowed other things to rule and reign in our lives. Today we turn back to you. Lord, we want you to be the dominant force in our lives, to be the thing of greatest value to us, that our relationship with you would be the priority of our lives. And Lord, if we've let other things come in, we ask you to forgive us. Restore and renew our relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.